Ladies and gentlemen, the network grows. It's impossible to stop it now. It's Laker-like, and it's... I can't say that. Welcome back to KCBX in San Luis Obispo, rejoining us on the ever more massive Le Show Network. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen who've been listening all along, every one of these broadcasts is a very, very special program. But, of course, today is an extra very special program, and you will learn why moments from now. But first, a belated goodbye to John Hartford on Hello, Welcome to the Show.
Down in the city, it's a pity what's fair. All the kids in the gutter running really bare. How much of money do I have to get? They're getting me set where the jet set gets. Like up on the hill where they do the boogie. Boogie. I wonder what they're doing when they do the boogie. And I wonder what I'm doing here. Down in the city, if you ain't dead, you better watch that man. He's gonna bust your head, throw you over and leave you alone. He's a 20 minutes late, he gotta be back home. Way up on the hill where they do the boogie. I wonder what they're doing when they do the boogie. And I wonder what I'm doing here. Rats in the alley and a roach on the floor. A businessman a-hunting for a two-bit whore. I thought I heard some housewives say I gotta go up the hill for the PTA. Meets up on the hill where they do the boogie. Boogie. I wonder what they're doing when they do the boogie. And I wonder what I'm doing here. Some folks say that a hippie won't steal, but I caught three in my cornfield. One had a flag and the other had a bomb, and the third old boy was getting on home. Way up on the hill where they do the boogie. The boogie. I wonder what they're doing when they do the boogie. And I wonder what I'm doing here. Now all I know about is what I read. I see you coming at me on a TV screen. Every time the boogie, well, it gives me a thrill. But they always seem to do it way up on the hill. Way up on the hill where they do the boogie. The boogie. I wonder what they're doing when they do the boogie. And I wonder what I'm doing here.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, from down in the flats, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to another edition of Le Show. And George W. Bush made it to Poland on his big European trip. I am inundated by people who say, yes, he was abroad. He went overseas before he became president. So, okay, he was in China. Apparently, he never left U.S. embassy grounds, so that was U.S. territory. But he went to Israel, and he may have gone to other European countries as well. So let's drop that. He was in Europe this week and in Poland. You know, he's gotten such a bad rap, George W. Bush has, about his way with the English language. He's kidded himself about it. But I think we got an insight into the way he does speak this week from an unlikely source, Dikembe Mutombo, the center of the Philadelphia 76ers, who talking about the Lakers' previous playoff experiences before they met the 76ers, said, up to now, it's been like a walk in the cake. That's Bushian. Or, well, to explain it the other way, George Bush talks like that. And where is Dikembe Mutombo from? He's from the Congo. So George W. Bush speaks Congolian, I guess. As I say, he was in Poland and spoke warmly of United States ties with Poland, reminiscent of nobody more than the last American who cast envious and covetous eyes on Poland, Michael Jackson, who 4 years ago announced he was going to build an amusement park there. We haven't seen the park yet, but George W. Bush's words rang a familiar bell.
Went to white. Ich bin eine Pool. Here's a place where the past has a future, where tabloids don't hold sway. Jews always point out that there once was a ghetto. My life's a ghetto every day. Poland, life is a dream.
Gentlemen, the controversies continue about the FBI. The prosecution against the sniper who killed folks at Ruby Ridge was dropped this week. Of course, the search goes on for a new FBI director in the wake of all the problems with the FBI under Louis Freeh. And it makes you wonder where this all started. Makes me not wonder that, because I have the answer in the form of a revival. It seems so declassé to say rerun. Of the musical comedy production J. Edgar, a fantasia on the life of J. Edgar Hoover. We present Act One on today's edition of Le Show.
So, have you checked his blood pressure lately?
Not good. Mm-hmm. You going to the hospital picnic?
I don't know. I don't have anything to wear.
Clyde.
Oh, he's calling for his lifetime assistant again.
Just take it easy, Mr. Hoover. He'll be back soon. Just rest.
He looks so weak and fragile lying there. You'd never guess to look at him now that he wielded more power and wielded it longer than any man in history.
What's the way to a picnic?
Mother.
That's easy for you to say. You got those great legs. Your mother's dead, Mr. Hoover. Died about 1938. You want to get a cigarette?
Yeah. Not much we can do for him now. Mm. Poor old Queen.
Oh, no. That's just his lifetime assistant.
Yeah. And I'm Clara Barton.
Hey, J. Edgar. Long way from Southeast Washington, huh?
How do you know where I grew up? Oh, it's you.
No, it's you.
You mean you're me as a boy come back to show me my life?
You've been watching too many movies.
I'm wrong.
No, you're right. But you've still been watching too many movies. Yeah. That's why you're having this dream instead of, say, what about snakes in the bathtub?
Ah! So you're me.
Yeah, I'm you when you were young, and I came to cheer you up.
It's too late.
No, it's not.
I'm not gonna die.
Oh, you're half dead now. That's the only reason you could see me.
Right. And you are?
I'm you. It's true, I'm you were before you started shaving, before you started saving the world from crime. I'm you.
So you're me as a young boy?
Yes. Save you did here, the productive life you lived here. I'm proud to say what's so obviously true. I'm you.
Can't I just lie here and quietly die here? Why must I take an odyssey? A cleanly next to goddessy to see a life that is just about to end. I gave at the office, my friend.
Wouldn't you like to see your mother again? Wouldn't you like to see your big brother again?
Dick!
Excuse me?
Dick, my brother Dick.
Oh, I should have known that, because I'm you.
I'm sold. When do we leave?
Brother, we already left.
Say, you look a little tired. You want to lay down and bed with me a while before we go?
I'm you!
Okay, okay. Let's go.
Recognizer?
Oh, Marie Dressler?
Just put your glasses on.
Oh, Mommy.
She can't hear you. She's in a meeting with your school principal. Remember? Me know Mr. Hardfork?
How do you know?
Who am I?
You're you. Me.
Mrs. Hoover, your son John Edgar is an excellent student. He's a choir member, a fine debater. If only he could bring himself to change in front of the other boys and play sports, he'd be a perfect, well-rounded young man. But this newspaper he's putting out is causing a problem for the other students.
But what sort of a problem? He only prints the truth.
Mrs. Hoover, it may be true that little Timmy Johnson refuses to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance, but what your son fails to include in the article is that little Timmy Johnson has no legs.
Let somebody else start a little Timmy Johnson has no legs paper. It's a free country.
Go ahead. Go in there. You always knew what to do. Why
would you say hold your horses. Everyone knows I don't want to look like I'm worried. Ahem. Principal Hardfork.
Johnny, I thought I told you to wait outside.
I know, but I thought some information my reporters just unearthed about your whereabouts last night might be of interest to you. Or, your wife?
I was... Your mother and I were just talking about what a fine job you're doing with that paper, John. But I think you might want to keep the focus on your fellow students. Nobody wants to read about a boring, fusty old principal. You know, Mrs. Hoover, when you first came in, I found myself wondering who'd let Vilma Banky into the principal's office.
Oh, you're too kind.
Come on, Mother. Let's go home. I'm gonna hen in your hair.
That principal's a lovely man.
Yeah, isn't he nice? He's got the authority and the quiet strength and the ability to lead.
What's bothering you, Johnny?
I can't hide anything from you, can I?
Nothing but that muscle magazine under your bed.
I buy it for the articles. But yeah, something is bothering me about what Mr. Hardfork said.
Oh, don't let it bother you, Johnny. I know I'm no Vilma Banky.
No. It was where he said that I'm not well-rounded because I don't play sports and I don't really socialize. Mostly I just stay in my room thinking about what other people are doing.
Oh, Johnny.
What?
All great men were lonely children. I think everyone knows. Wishing they were just like all the but eagles do not fly amongst the sparrows or amongst the crows. Some fly south, but others must fly west. Follow your star. Be who you are. Never forget what I'm singing.
on, Ma, that'll never happen. I'm just a big, fat fairy.
Some were born to paint the Mona Lisa. Some to cure the common cold. To build the Taj Mahal. But you were born together in formation. To get on top and stay there.
I am old.
She can't hear you.
Then I'll follow your star.
Follow my star.
It will carry you far.
Welcome to the Masons, Mr. Hoover.
Welcome to the Justice Department, Mr. Hoover.
You're screen aliens for the armed forces, Mr. Hoover.
We'll keep you out of the army, Mr. Hoover.
I will always be. Mommy, Mama, where is she going?
Who?
My mother.
She's riding the elevator of memory up into the clouds of the past. And, I'm leaving too.
Where are you going, Johnny?
I'm not Johnny anymore.
I'm J. Edgar. Then who am I?
You're J. Edgar too.
We're you. Both of you.
I'm leaving. Hey, Ma, hold that elevator.
Mr. Hoover, there's an anarchist here to see you.
Send him in.
Mr. Hoover, I have small coffee bar. I smell small Russian nesting dolls, the kind you open up and there's a smaller doll inside.
I love those.
Yes. I'm a member of the Polar Bear Club. I am not an anarchist.
Mr. Kirdachenko.
Yes?
If you were sitting here as assistant director of the Bureau of Investigation, who would you believe, a man who sells those little Russian dolls or a sworn and trained agent of the federal government?
I would believe the seller of the dolls.
Well, I don't have that luxury. Now, if you're no anarchist, why were you passing out those leaflets calling for world government by 1928?
Well, is that what it said? Oh, I am waiting for new shipment of dolls. And to supplement my income in meantime, leaflet man pay me $2 a day to pass out leaflets. I cannot read English, but he told me it said new little dolls coming to Russian coffee bar.
I'm on to your game, Pinky. You sow the seeds of discord that rip apart the fabric of community. Where there is belief, you seek doubt. Where there is order, you would have upheaval. Children who today obey their parents would, if you had your way, trade their birthright of innocence for bayonets and borscht. If you had your way... Excuse me a minute. Yes, Helen.
You have a 10 o'clock appointment with the Attorney General about that promotion?
Oh, Helen, it's nice of you to say, but he probably just wants to know if I know a good brunch place around here.
Well... While I have you on the intercom, sir, I'm a little too shy to ask you this in person, but I've been told I make a wonderful chicken and dumplings, and if you ever wanted to come over and have dinner with me and my folks some night...
Helen, I'm sorry. There seems to be a little problem with the intercom. I'll talk to you later.
I think she likes you.
These flapper girls with their modern ideas and haircuts.
I know what you mean. My wife always wants to get into bathtub with the gin.
Why did I hang up on her? She liked me. Oh, please. Who am I kidding? I could never do that. I'm just not built that way. I guess I'm just not normal in that way. Some people like the smell and the taste. Me, I just can't digest dumplings.
Come in, Hoover. Sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General.
Hoover, you know, the Bureau has been wrecked by scandal.
Sir, I only buy that magazine for the articles.
Yes, but your record has been spotless. We need to do something to clean up the Bureau.
Can he really be saying what I'm hearing now? The directorship is like an answered prayer. Blow up balloons and start the cheering now. Hey, all you crooks, get your hands up in the air. Here comes J. Edgar, chasing crime with a vengeance, with my crew of G-men gents. Just look at their buns, guns. Wait for J. Edgar. This nation needs heroes. Those losers and zeros better pick up and run.
Follow your star.
Here comes J. Edgar.
Be who you are.
Here comes J. Edgar.
You will be the new director of the Bureau of Investigation. The B.I.
He said it. You heard it. I'm really gonna do it. Helping America sleep without fear.
Sure as the sun.
Sure as the sun.
When your work is done.
My name will be up on a building.
Yeah, what I'm seeing.
The time for greatness is near. Here comes J. Edgar. I'm here.
Good evening, Mr. Hoover. Welcome to the Stork Club. Mr. Winchell is waiting for you on table one.
Hoover, nice to meet you. Hope you like oysters. Scotch?
I don't know.
Come on, put lead in your pencil. Manuel, a scotch for the director.
Yes, sir.
So, Hoover, you don't date. What's going on with that?
I'm married to my work, Mr. Winchell.
That's good. Can I use it in my column? It goes to 600 papers across the country.
Well, I'm not really supposed to get any publicity for myself.
Good evening, Mr. Winchell.
Carol Lombard, you know J. Edgar Hoover.
I don't believe I've had the pleasure. Well, Mr. Winchell, just wanted to say hi and tell you my new movie begins shooting next Wednesday.
That's wonderful, darling. I'm excited. My readers are excited.
Nice meeting you, Mr. Hooper.
See, everybody wants publicity. You should, too.
But she's a movie star.
Everybody's in show business. The sooner you learn that, the sooner your agents will be allowed to carry guns and arrest people.
Is there a men's room in here?
Sure, kid. Make a left at Ronald Coleman's table.
Excuse me, are you standing there because you're the attendant who hands out Vitalis and towels?
No, sir.
No, that's me. I'm here in the stall reading the Bible.
I'm sorry. Were you waiting for someone?
I've been waiting for 200 years, sir.
I wasn't talking to you.
Mr. Hoover, I'm Agent Tolson, assigned to men's room security during your visit.
Well, what happened to Agent Andrews?
He requested reassignment, sir. He couldn't take the smell of the Vitalis any longer.
But you don't mind it?
No, sir. I'm here to do my duty. No pun intended.
Good to meet you.
Shall I run the faucets for you, sir?
The one on the left tends to stick.
What the hell is going on here? I never felt this way before. Who knew the land of miracles was just inside a men's room door?
What must he think of me? Why did I make a joke about the duty? Sir, forgive me if I'm overstepping my bounds, but have you ever thought of parting your hair on the right side? You have a full face, and it might give you a lift.
Agent Tolson, if you don't want to lose this plum assignment, you'll mind your own business.
Sorry, sir, the left side's fine.
Why was I so mean to the boy? He was only trying to be nice. Why can't I cast away this mask of clay and live my life?
Mind your own business.
just four little words. Why did they sound like I'll love you forever? The most beautiful words I've ever heard. Mind your own business.
Gone are the days of the $5 tipper. Why, every night is there just change in my dish?
I've never known love, no candlelight dinners, no walks in the moonlight, no afterglow for me. I've never known love, no touch on the cheekbone, no intimate whisper, no showers together at three.
Oh, you think that makes me feel, Johnny? I gave you all the love I had.
I wasn't talking about that kind of love, Mom.
Oh, well, I'll just take the elevator of memory back up into the clouds of the past.
Then I saw a face like a young Randolph Scott. And things are what they're not anymore. But I've never known love. I've never shown love a love of my own before. I'll show you love, the candlelight dinners, the walks in the moonlight,
the afterglow
for you. I'll show you love, a touch on the cheekbone, a playful shower for two. I have a face like a young Randolph Scott, and things are what they are not in your arms. So I'll show you love. I've never known love.
After you, sir. Part the hair on the right, you think, huh?
Lovebirds.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. United States and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. Flash. The crime wave continues to sweep across a terrifying America. Ma Barker and pretty boy Floyd seem to have the combination to bank vaults all over the country. And that combination is the rat-a-tat-tat of a Tommy gun. In Chicago, even the mayor isn't as powerful as the king of rackets. Al Capone calls the shots in the Windy City, and those shots are the rat-a-tat-tat of a Tommy gun. And in Hollywood, so-called comedian Fatty Arbuckle can wave goodbye to his lucrative Coca-Cola endorsement. This is one career I don't have to ruin. As the crime wave sweeps the country, genial G-man J. Edgar Hoover has his hands full, keeping the crime wave from becoming a tidal wave of crime.
These tax people are crazy if they think they're going to get Capone. If they'd stop tying my hands, I'd give that mug a St. Valentine's party he'd never forget.
Get you another coffee?
No, I'm fine. Morning, Helen.
Good morning, Mr. Hoover. Shall I get my steno pad?
That's okay, Helen. I'll take care of it.
But I always take Mr. Hoover's dictation.
I'll be taking it from now on.
Oh, cheer up, Helen. There's plenty of fish in the sea.
Oh, shucks. I just had something in my eye, Missy.
Sure you did, kid. I'll go back to the typing pool. It's just that a man in your eye can be bothersome. A man in your heart can be worse. It's always been my hunch that love is no free lunch. Love. It's a terrible case.
You don't really believe that, Mae?
Sure I do, kid. What do you need a man for? They're hairy and cold. They steal all the covers in bed. Just a cat in my lap, a box full of chocolates, and a fireplace roaring instead.
I know I'm a fool to believe that somehow my heart must believe he's gruff and tough, a two-fisted kind of guy. A scowl is the warmest thing he gives to me, but I love him so. He'll never know. A badge and a gun get all the love he's got. A woman in his life would slow him down a lot, but I love him so. He'll never know. Our life could be dreamy if only he'd see me, but he's just my...
Helen, could you bring in those bodybuilding magazines? I want to cross-index the articles.
Right away, sir.
That's what he thinks of loving, and so he's shoving Cupid aside. I'll never know his kisses. He'll never call me Mrs. His connubial blisses are saved for some other bride. I wonder what that lucky woman will be like.
Helen, did you hear Mr. Hoover? He wants his magazines.
Yes, sir.
He's rough and tough. A two-fisted kind of
guy. Dateline Washington, incoming President Franklin D. Roosevelt has a new deal in mind for J. Edgar Hoover. The bread line. The axe should fall any time now. Next time you see Hoover at the Stork Club, he'll be begging outside the front door.
The president will see you now.
Hoover! Hoover, come in here. Well, Mr. Hoover, so good of you to come. I don't want you to misunderstand now. The country's very grateful for your service, but I do think 9 years in this job's enough for any man.
Mr. President, under our system, you are more than entitled to officials of your own choosing. I wish you the best.
Thank you, Director Hoover.
One thing, Mr. President. There have been these nasty rumors floating around about you being a cripple. I'd hate for those to get into, say, Winchell's column.
Can you stop that from happening?
Not without the full power of my office, for an indefinite period of time.
You've got it?
And one more thing. Bureau of Investigation sounds so five pennies trying to be a nickel. Do you think I could get an F for my B.I.?
Yes, yes, put an F in your B.I. and get the hell out of here.
Thank you, sir. I love the cigarette holder.
He loves the cigarette holder. Maybe I should have stood up to him. After all, I am the president. But why second guess myself? He's probably fine. Won't ruin the country too much. Let him have his FBI. I've got bigger fish to fry.
Good morning, Mrs. Ackerman.
Good morning, Rudy. Could I have a roll of dimes, please?
Oh, your grandchildren must be in town.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this week's deposit for my Christmas club account.
Oh, $1.75. Hey, did you win the Irish sweepstakes?
Suddenly, the scene of cheerful commerce is interrupted by a tattoo of terror. A tattoo etched in the ceiling of the bank in the ink of the rat-a-tat-tat of a Tommy gun.
Okay, everybody, hands in the air. This is a stick-up, John Dillinger style.
Mr. Dillinger, we never thought you'd rob our little bank. We thought we were just too unimportant for a big-time bank robber like yourself.
Nah, kid, you got a nice little bank here. There's plenty of money to steal. Boys, you know where the vault is? Don't worry, Grandma, I won't take your Christmas money.
Oh, thank you.
But I will have to ask you for that roll of dimes.
We got everything, boss.
All right, all right. I think it's time to amscrape before the police pay. Get here.
Police pay?
Police. Get it? Mr. Dillinger, before you go, would you like to join our Christmas club?
No, thanks, kid. That's what I love about my job. Every day is payday.
Yes, but you get a free calendar.
And then he takes the poor old lady's roll of dimes.
Ooh, that's terrible, Agent Purvis.
Damn it. It's as if the police are helpless in the face of this one-man crime wave. He's probably laughing at us. He's probably calling me a big fat fairy. Not that I am one. You know how the criminal mind works.
Director Hoover, we've got a tip that the Dillinger gang are going to hole up for the weekend at a resort in Wisconsin. Little Bohemia. With a little luck, we might be able to surprise them and give our friend Mr. Dillinger a permanent vacation.
Do whatever you have to do, Agent Purvis. I want that sneering mug behind bars so bad I can taste him. It. And if you're successful at bringing America's most dangerous criminal to heel, you'll get all the credit. The name Melvin Purvis will one day be up on a building.
I'll get right on it, Director Hoover.
What are you looking at?
Just watching him leave. Oh, don't start this again, Clark. Can't I watch an agent leave the office?
Never watch me leave.
How do you know if you're walking away?
Fine. At least when he's walking away, it's to help capture public enemy number one. What I have to go back to is men's room security.
Agent Tolson, I can't promote you too fast. How would it look?
I suppose living together wouldn't look too good.
No, it wouldn't. Look, come here. Come on. Let me hold you.
I don't want to be held right now.
Let me hold you. Now there.
Mr. Hoover, I have some...
Then you just take the suspect's arm. Mm-hmm. You bend it back this way. Mm-hmm. Forcing the gun to drop. Mm-hmm. Crushing the criminal's will to resist. What is it, Helen?
Just some wiretaps for you to approve, sir.
Fine, leave them on the desk.
Yes, sir.
Now what were you looking at?
Clyde. Clyde. Oh, it's difficult for you, isn't it, kitten?
Oh, Pooh Bear. Will we ever have a normal relationship?
Well, not unless one of us gets a series of very painful operations.
Don't you ever feel the temptation to shout out our love from the rooftops?
Of course I do. Look, I wasn't going to show you this until Congress approved it, but...
What is it?
It's a new plaque for your desk with your new title. Go ahead, read it out loud.
Lifetime Assistant?
Oh, let me see that. Damn printers. It should say assistant. I might as well do this right. Let me get down on one knee here. Clyde Tolson, will you be my lifetime assistant?
Oh, J. Edgar, I...
Mr. Hoover, I've
then just been... you tackle the suspect by the ankles, pull his feet out from under him, and what is it, Helen?
Pretty boy Floyd has been arrested. I thought you'd like to know.
No word about Dillinger.
No, sir.
Well, Clyde, what do you say?
Lifetime assistant. How could a job title sound so romantic? Why have bells started ringing? Why do birds sing his name? How could a promotion produce such emotion? Nothing will ever be the same. Lifetime assistant, I'll make the most of it. Don't want to boast of it, but I feel so proud
gotta shout it out loud. Lifetime assistance, I'll always care for him. I'll be right there for him in crime and in war. That's what lifetime assistance are for. The man behind the man who always gets his man. The old cliche has never been so true. All that I can offer is a love that keeps his place till my assisting days are through. Lifetime assistance, I'll make him a good one, an aged in the wood one. It's all that I ever can be. Hey, a lifetime assistant, teardrop resistant, his lifetime assistant.
Okay, everyone take one giant step forward. Mr. Hillinger, I didn't say Simon Says. You are out.
Okay, all right, all right. Well, I know what you're thinking. You think I should have used a more creative alias, huh? All right. Maybe Hillinger is kind of lazy.
Oh, no, boss. If you used John Smith, everyone would know right away you was John Dillinger.
Not so loud!
Sorry, boss.
Don't think you have to yes me all the time.
Right, boss.
I'm not like Machine Gun Kelly with a weak ego where he has to have his butt kissed every 5 minutes.
No, sir.
Right. What time is it?
Get your own watch.
What?
I didn't want to kiss your butt with the correct time. It's 8 o'clock, boss.
Turn on the radio. Winchell's on.
From our It Couldn't Be More Secret file, Flash, this reporter has just learned that FBI agents are within 1 hour of surrounding the entire John Dillinger gang at the Little Bohemia Resort.
Hey, you think that's true, boss?
Hey, it's Winchell. He was right about the Fatty Arbuckle endorsements. Take your Tommy gun out of your swimsuit. Let's get out of here.
Okay, Simon Says put your finger on your nose. Your nose, Mrs. Berkowitz. Nose, darling. Simon Says.
But Mrs. Berkowitz's finger would never live to see that nose again. As the Dillinger gang slipped out unnoticed, late-arriving FBI agents played a rhapsody of bullets in Crime Niggy Hall.
You'll never get me, Hoover, you big fat fairy! 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 Fairy!
That stupid Dago.
Sir, Dillinger's not Italian.
I don't care what you say, I smell garlic every time I look at the guy. Go ahead, Agent Purvis.
Well, that's my report, sir. I do have one recommendation, and this is in no way a criticism of anybody at headquarters, but next time we have Public Enemy Number One surrounded, maybe wait until we actually capture him before you tell Winchell.
Put it in the suggestion box, seal it with a kiss. Purvis, I should be mad at you, but damn it, you remind me of a young me. How old are you?
42, sir.
I'm 38. Interesting. Now look, Purvis, you gotta get Dillinger. That pasta-loving bunch of galoopas thumbing his nose at the whole concept of law. He's making the FBI look like a bunch of clowns headed by a big queen. I won't have it. Because I like to date women, I'm just married to the Bureau. Now get him out of here, Clyde!
Yes, sir! Agent Purvis, I know what your game is, miss.
Excuse me?
But if you think you can take my man by currying his favor by capturing a criminal, you'll find the next time you clip your ruby slippers, Dorothy, you may just end up back in Kansas. Do we understand each other, Toto?
What are you talking about?
Let's just make it nice and simple. Just get Dillinger.
I understand that. I didn't follow the other stuff.
Okay, Princess Lunch and Meat. Go home and kiss the beard and hug the kitties.
But I,
Your pumpkin's waiting.
And Mr. Purvis.
Yes, I'm Agent Purvis. But I've never seen a woman wearing so much red in all my born days. Who are you?
They call me the Lady in Red. From Romania I came, without a cent to my name, to be a madam in Indiana. Somebody report me, Now they want to depart me away from my sweet Indiana. Indiana, your wheat fields in summer, more yellow than sunrise, so good in my bread. Your steel mills at sunset, your powerful whistle still scream in my head.
Well, if you are a madam, you should be deported. Good day, madam.
I'm sorry, but I thought you want to catch John Dillinger.
You have information about his whereabouts?
After every bank job, he comes for a wank job to my brother. Back in dear Indiana.
Well, that's all.
Indiana. Your trout streams and racetrack make my mind race back to your gentle plight.
Will you stop with the Indiana?
On Friday we go to the new movie show at 10 o'clock. At the Biograph Theater, you'll get your man. Just do what you can to let me stay in Indiana.
All right, you got a deal.
Oh, Mr. Indiana. My hometown.
Chicago, the Biograph Theater, 10 p.m. The net is drawing tight around arch criminal John Dillinger. Melvin Purvis makes his final moves.
Okay, Agent Kelly.
Yes, sir?
You take the east side of the lobby. Only egress is via staircase 127 feet northeast of your location, well within the radius of your weapon, even if we take into account your accelerated heart rate. Agent Watson.
Yes, sir.
You take the opposite side of the lobby. You have a longer shooting radius. They change the butter on the popcorn every 27 minutes, so be careful of falling grease. The rest of the agents will be arrayed in a serpentine fashion every 2 feet. Good luck, gentlemen. If we do our work well tonight, America will sleep more safely later tonight.
Meanwhile, at FBI headquarters in Washington, super sleuth J. Edgar Hoover, with the scientific might of the nation's top crime lab, is at the helm at the command center of Operation Get Dillinger.
Okay, I'm discarding. Oh, I could have used that, Ace. Look, just think about it. That's all I'm saying.
I've thought about it, Clyde, and it's impossible. Clyde, we just can't adopt a child.
You knew I wanted children when you asked me to be your assistant.
Just take a coffee.
Okay. I just feel such a void in my life. Just a little person to take to the circus.
Oh, take Henderson from fingerprinting. He shortly loves elephants.
Canasta!
Mr. Hoover,
Each of these cards represents a member of Dillinger's gang, with the king being Dillinger. What is it, Helen?
They have the theater surrounded. They know Dillinger's inside, and Winchell's promised to keep it off the radio until we have a confirmed kill.
Thank you, Helen.
I know I'm being a silly old goose, but would you at least think about a kitten?
I'll think about it. Now, Agent Tolson, I think it's time for a little Parcheesi.
Back at the Biograph Theater, John Dillinger is watching the last reel of the last movie he'll ever see.
I'll tell you, Midge, you're one right dame.
Thanks, Blackie. You gonna go back to boxing or play the violin here on Daddy's farm?
Boy, oh boy, does this movie stink. Let's get out of here.
Okay, boss.
Come on, Red.
Well, personally, I like the movie.
Yeah. Now, I thought you said we were going to be in the newsreel.
Hey, who knew there was going to be a heat wave back east? I like the girl on the cake of ice, huh, boss?
Yeah. Let's go eat some chinks.
Oh, darling, I'm not so hungry. Maybe I go to ladies' room while you walk out front of theater.
Hey, what the...
Stick 'em up, Johnny!
Call it, Shinks! Tell him we won't be keeping the reservation.
happy as a clam. Public enemy number one is 6 feet under.
You read the papers, Winchell? Hell, you write in them. Everybody's writing about Purvis. Purvis is the big hero. Purvis is the great G-man. It's Purvis this and Purvis that and Purvis the other thing.
Good evening, Mr. Hoover. Would you care for an order?
How's the fettuccine al Purvis? Oh, no, they got me doing it high.
We'll both have the T-bone. Well done.
Yes, sir.
Listen, John, I told you there'd come a day when you'd want publicity. Well, unleash me and I'll make you bigger than Mae West's bazooms.
I don't know, Walter. I have needs for privacy that go beyond the normal man's.
Excuse me, Mr. Hoover?
Yes, little girl.
Could you get me Agent Purvis's autograph, please?
Sure.
Could he write it to Tammy, my new best friend?
Look, I'll just get him to sign it.
Well?
All right, Walter, you win. Make me more famous than Purvis.
This is the Everywhere Newsreel. Here's the hero of the Dillinger caper, J. Edgar Hoover, at FBI headquarters in Washington. Busy, busy, Mr. Hoover. There are always more public enemies to capture. Here's Director Hoover looking over a display of the arch criminal John Dillinger's memorabilia. Looks like the contents of that jar really caught the director's fancy. Aunt Eunice's prize-winning cucumber from the county fair, it definitely is not. England has its Scotland Yard, Canada its Mounties, but thanks to J. Edgar Hoover, no one escapes the G-Man.
Boy, this movie's really good.
What are you doing?
What? I'm celebrating my triumph.
Alone? Interesting.
What? What's interesting? What?
You need to be alone. That's funny. Because I need to be never alone. Interesting?
Great. Now the pouty thing again.
I'm not pouting. It's just that...
What?
It's just that... I like hayrides and potluck suppers. You like the Stork Club at 3. I like sleigh rides and roasting chestnuts. You like criminology. You go to the track and your losses are covered by genial mobsters all dressed in black. I'm home in the kitchen frying some fritters, wondering if you'll ever get me that cat. Goodbye, Mr. G-Man. Had our share of laughs and caught some bad men on the way. I'm taking my toothbrush to sunnier climates. It hurts to leave you, it would hurt more to stay. But now it's Clyde's turn, this time it's Clyde's turn. It's not your turn or his turn or theirs.
What are you saying? How dare you leave me? I was on the cover of Time magazine.
But now it's Clyde's turn. Damn it, world, Clyde's turn. I'll be the lifetime assistant of someone who cares.
I brought you presents. You get my insurance. You get to ride in your own limousine.
You just don't get it, do you?
'Cause now it's Clyde's turn. No one but Clyde's turn. I don't need a G-man to find me a cat. Au revoir, à bientôt, ciao, bambino. That's that.
Is this all about the cat? Or did I not give love? What's wrong with me anyway?
I'll never miss him, except on some evenings. I'll never miss him, except in the moonlight, or when violins play, or I'm frightened at night. I'll never miss him, except in the morning, when he scratches my face with the world's toughest beard. No, I'll never miss him. I'll read all of Dickens. I'll keep myself busy. I won't let it show. I'm rich and I'm famous, so how could I miss him? No, I will not miss him. Not much I want. No, I do not miss him. Not much I don't. Don't. Don't.
Kelsey Grammer and John Goodman starring in Act One of J. Edgar. Written by Tom Leopold and yours truly. Music by Peter Matz, directed by yours truly. And
excuse me.
Yes, Ralph, the talking computer.
I have a little something that's too hot not to read.
Ralph, the talking computer. Ralph, we very limited time left. What is it?
Billy Crystal's angry letter to the newspaper this week.
Oh, yes, a writer for The Dog Trainer had accused him of stealing the idea for the movie parodies at the beginning of the Oscars. That is good, Ralph. Very quickly, some music in the background, of course.
Your matter-of-fact and irresponsible accusation is a nasty attack on my character, and I resent that I was never contacted by you to tell my side of the creation of the Oscar openings. I have worked for many years in this industry and have always tried to be honest and original in my work. To insult my integrity like this is a very cheap, low blow, something you are well known for. Good writers do research. Good writers investigate and can substantiate their accusations. Not you. It is an open secret among many performers to steer clear of you because your big picture is never fully painted. Do I like the MTV parodies? Yes. And I was also inspired by Sid Caesar's parody of From Here to Eternity. Who inspired you? My guess would be Roy Cohn.
Wow. Kind of Sammy, you think, Ralph?
Kind of Jerry.
Yeah, good point. And speaking of Roy Cohn, he'll be making an appearance on next week's edition of the show as we present J. Edgar Act 2. The show returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, and on your computer whenever you want it at www.kcrw.com and harryshearer.com. The show comes to you through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.